With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Say my name.
ESPN 97.5.
Damn right.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go, 60 minutes on the clock as we continue with the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Lots of spirited discussion on our first day back for the new week, and lots of fun involved as well as a lot of deep thought without Stuart Smalley. People putting a lot of extra thinking caps on.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yep. Anthony said, as a Rockets fan, I don't mind if Morey is fired for his comments. If it brings light to the situation, I'll lose interest in the Rockets and the NBA anyway if they fire him, so it won't matter if he goes to another team.
The thing that's interesting to me, too, is the fact that you've got the serious Kool-Aid-drinking Rocket fans that support Daryl no matter what. And then you have that huge Chinese fan base in which I've seen them tweet and chime in, and it's kind of middle of the road. Yeah. Half of them are like, hey, we roll with Daryl and the Rockets no matter what. And half of them, because they're so dedicated to their home country, are saying, I was a Rockets fan forever, and now I can't be. And it's crazy that it's that cut and dry.
Josh Rapp said, does the NBA have any leverage the other direction? Can they use the idea of leaving China to leverage a change?
See, I thought about that, but I think the thing that I thought about was, look, if you're the league, say, look, we'll take it a step further. We'll cut you off then. Then you can't see our games, or you can't get league pass, or you can't do these CCTV broadcasts. But you're really hurting yourself even more then, because you're making a stance, but you really are.
You're limiting your advertising.
You're cutting just massive amounts of money out of your revenue for the entire league. And you're going to have owners that are going to say, much like in Daryl's situation, you're going to have owners that come back if the commissioner decides to do that and go, especially if he doesn't check with them, and say, hey, look, just as bad as it was that Daryl made a personal comment on a social platform that created a stir, if you go and do this, especially if you don't ask us, but if you go and do this for the what you think is for the league making a stance, but that stance costs us millions upon hundreds of millions of dollars each as franchises, we're not so good with that.
I think one of the things you could do, and you could speak to this better than me, but I'm pretty sure that this happens on a regular basis where NBA coaches and players will go over into China and work with them on developing basketball.
Oh, it's basketball China. Without borders. It happens all
and
over.
And developing the Chinese national basketball team and helping them get better. And I think that that's one way you could strip all that as the NBA, as an organization. You could say, okay, that's fine, but this is a two-way street. You guys learn the game on your own now. You guys, from here on out, you are on your own, and we'll focus our attention on Japan or Australia or any other of these other countries that want our services when it comes to making their national team better and more dominant. That's one thing you could pull back. I don't know
They've
how much leverage
a lot,
that
gives
you.
They do basketball without borders, and they do a great job. And here's the other thing. Just think about who the first Rockets preseason game was against.
Yeah.
So they're doing a ton for the CBA. This
so that's
is
what
why,
I mean. That's the leverage that I think that they do have is you just halt all operations for China.
Guys with higher pay grades than us need to get into a room. And as much as Adam Silver said, it's him and Yao and maybe Daryl, you need some members of the Chinese government too. So they can just, in a small group of people, sit down and air it all out, but understand, hey, this is a win-win proposition that we're dealing with right now. Because as much as we're getting, you know, millions of dollars from the Chinese audience, you guys are getting a lot of benefits too, hand over fist, because of the NBA in China.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of say, can we find a way to either agree to disagree, but peacefully make amends and go forward so that we both can continue to prosper?
SportsGeek89 says, some of the issue is that Hong Kong is seen as its own place. And from what I've read, out of a lot of mainlanders don't support the riots and see it as a separatist movement. I'm interested in that comment because a lot of mainlanders don't support the riots and see it as a separatist movement. Is that because of the information that they're being given? Because all of the information that, may, quote, mainlanders get is controlled by the Chinese government. The same thing with internet access. If you go to
to
an anti-Chinese government, you're not going to get to CNN America and get a story or Fox News America.
We travel to China. You're not going to get on Facebook. You're not going to get on Twitter or Instagram.
So the fact of the matter is that there are, I'm sure, millions and hundreds of millions of Chinese people who are appalled at this, but it's because of the information that their government is controlling and giving to them.
Yeah. Yeah,
If they knew for sure that Hong Kong was fighting for freedom of speech and democracy, I doubt very seriously that hundreds of millions of Chinese citizens would be opposed to that. But I think that they get the information the government wants them to have, and the government tells them, this is a separatist movement. They hate China. They hate you. They hate us. Yep. They hate your government.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's absolutely no question that we don't have a firm grasp. And like I said, there's just too many fans that didn't even know this was going on that suddenly, because of this controversy, have found out just enough to be dangerous in terms of then chiming in and having an opinion and not realizing how big of an issue this is.
Hey, good. There's only 2,000 people in line for tickets to Dave Chappelle online. Jason Hebert just sent us a picture. You're now in the queue, 2,000 plus people in front of you. Good luck, Jason.
And how many seats are there?
200.
Oh, no.
Good luck,
and those
buddy.
People aren't just buying one seat.
No.
All right, so before we wrap up the Maury situation with the Rockets, Jerry wants to get in here. Let's see what he's got to say. Jerry?
Hey, what's up, boy?
Hey, it's DJ. Jerry. Where you been?
Yeah, well, I moved my job to Sugarland, and you know how the signal is out there. So I was actually watching the video stream today, so I can see Nick Sharara's head actually look small for once in the little corner box there. Producer Cam, very nice.
Okay, well done, Nick.
All right. You know what I was thinking, Barry, you said was, when you said that, well, if you bashed the Soviet Union back in the day, no one would ever disagree with you. And I was thinking, what is the difference between that and China? And the difference is just the amount of people there. Like, your access to that customer base is so massive that, you know, it's 10 times the size of the United States. So these companies that have these mission statements, one of them, which was, I was looking at the companies that have the biggest business in China, was Starbucks. And you look at their mission statement, their credo, and it's to inspire and nurture the human spirit. So it's their whole basis to exist as a company is, let's nurture the human spirit, but we want to do business in a place that does the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So these companies are willing to basically go against their own value systems because there's so much profit that they have potential to make there. So, it's kind of messed up. It depends on the industry. Like social media, like Joel just said, Instagram, Facebook, Facebook's trying to work with the Chinese government to get, their censors to allow them to do business over there. And it's kind of goes exactly against the whole reason for some of these companies to exist, or whatever their credo is or their mission statements are. So the old money talks and BS walks is alive and well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. No doubt about it. Appreciate the call, Jerry. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, man.
I mean, look.
Congrats on the new gig.
Yep. When you talk about all of this, too, the reason why this is a big deal is about control, because the government still wants to control all of their people, and they're losing control if one of their favorite pastimes and revenue streams with the imported is the NBA, but they're opening up avenues for freedom of expression and opinion. They lose control and they don't like that.
Uh-uh. They do not like that at all. Somebody texted and said, "You think there are some NBA fans who will tune out now, knowing the influence China has on the NBA?"
I don't. Let me say this. In the United States, I absolutely do not think that it will change or alter any viewing or support. Now, Chinese Americans, or like I said, people originally from China may have a different opinion, but overall, the residents of the United States, United States citizens that are going to be NBA fans are still going to be NBA fans over this.
I would agree with that. So, and then somebody said the NBA had Cantor's back when he spoke out against the Turkish government. Why is this different now?
You know what? It's a different. I think there's two separate issues, and it's two different situations. But I think that what I talked about earlier, I firmly believe in, which is just because of the political, the social and political climate and how hot it is overall right now across the board, I think everybody's handling all these situations with kid gloves. But I think when you're dealing with the Cantor and Turkey issue, they wanted him basically dead for basically supporting
freedom
for his people, you know? And so I think that's a big difference. And you're also, again, I'm not trying to sugarcoat this. From a financial standpoint, the league is not worried about Turkey's support of the NBA and in the NBA internationally as they are in China.
That's the fact. That is the bottom line and the fact of all this, which is why for some, myself included, it's kind of disgusting if they kowtow to China over the money.
But. So that's what it's going to come down to, though. So we'll see how it all plays out. Like I said, it's going to get worse before it gets better, and it's not going to go away. You're going to continue to hear about this because the NBA, ESPN and the NBA are in China this week with Nets Lakers. The Rockets are in Japan with the Raptors. And so this is going to continue to be a national story, and your Rockets, for a lot of the wrong reasons, are right in the middle of it. So we'll see if this is the end of the ramifications or if it goes further than that. But yeah. I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. Okay, so we still got plenty more to get to. Josh Rapp, you mentioned, chimed in. Josh Rapp, diehard Cardinals fan.
Yep.
He's got to be happy today because Yadier Molina, with a couple of big at-bats, extra innings, Cardinals beat the Braves. They force a game five, and Max Scherzer pitches his ass off. And who'd have thought that the Washington Nationals are going to go to L.A. to take on a Dodgers team and have Steven Strasburg on full rest, ready to go in a winner-take-all scenario.
That's going to be a fun game to watch. That's going to be quintessential October baseball, I hope.
So
if it's a blowout, I'm going to be pissed. But that Walker Buehler versus Steven Strasburg
in
the
TV,
playoffs,
man,
in October.
If you're a baseball fan.
That's going to be fun. Game 5, Cardinals-Brewers is Flaherty versus Foltynewicz. So.
Not Cardinals Brewers, Cardinals Braves.
I mean, Cardinals Braves. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry.
How'd that Keuchel on short rest?
Not very good.
Not so good.
Yeah, that's what worries me about JV.
I knew you were going to say that. All right, we're going to continue to roll. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 975.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Rolling through the final hour of the show. ESPN 97.5. It's Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. Fellas, again,
theme. Show flew by.
Yeah, it did. Way back Wednesday. No clue. Good.
Leave that up to Barry.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't want to. You don't want to suggest a theme for Way Back Wednesday?
No.
Chinese artists?
Okay. 1995,
Chinese
it
artists.
Is.
No.
No? Songs about red ass? Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we touched a little bit on the baseball aspect. We've got game fives. Yankees swept the Twins. So I guess in essence, as much as Astros fans hate Yankees fans, Yankees did the Astros a favor. If you were going to win that series in three, then it did the Astros a favor because had the Twins won last night, then the Yankees would have been the primetime game. The Astros would be playing right now, and Verlander would have had even less time rest. But now, because it's a night game, Verlander doesn't really have to change his routine. He can go through. He gets a little extra rest in the process because he's working on short notice, maybe that benefits the Astros a little bit.
I'm a little worried about it, but you know, if he wants the ball, like we said earlier, if he wants the ball, you got to give him the ball, right? At the end of the day. Although I don't know if I'm AJ Hinch that I would like the players dictating my decisions, but
I still think at the end of the day, he and Jeff Luhnow probably had a say-so in the matter, and they were the ones that were going to make the final call. But I think you got to believe, and based on pitch count, I don't think he – I think he finished – would he finish on in the like low 90s for his start in game one?
Yeah, I don't think it was too bad.
That I think that for a lot of they weighed a lot of factors. But when you listen to Verlander talk about it too, the one thing that I actually liked was he goes, look, anything can happen in the playoffs. And once you win one, if you're Tampa, you know, you could if you win another one at home, which is, you know, a conceivable at home, tough environment to play, as you mentioned, and they get a little momentum. Now they go into a winner-take-all one-game scenario where anything can happen, and the Astros want to avoid that. So with that being said, and with the factor in of you didn't know who your game four starter was going to be anyway, and it was a toss-up with the crazy failures of Wade Miley or the inexperience of Jose or Keady or whatever you were going to do, this kind of solves it all for you in one fall swoop, and you save Garrett Cole on full rest for a game five should you need him. So
that's the big thing is now you've got, if you're the Rays, you've got to beat Verlander and Cole.
Right.
And that's a tall order, and Cole will be on full rest. So you got to beat Verlander on 3 days rest and Cole on full rest, and that's obviously a lot more difficult. So I understand why, but you know, I don't expect Verlander to have a typical Verlander rally. Not saying that they're going to lose the game, but I mean, I would be surprised if he could go 7 or 8.
I
kind of
do. I expect him to perform well. And the reason being is because you look at a Scherzer who pitched so well last night, but his playoff record has been up and down, and he has never been great. You know, and a lot of people were saying Max Scherzer finally, you know, he kind of was doing his Clayton Kershaw. Mm-hmm. And then he got it right last night. So you look at Kershaw and Scherzer and some of these big names, David Price, who has been just, you know, an all-world at times regular season pitcher, but struggles mightily in the postseason. Verlander's the opposite. He's one of those guys that channels it even more in the playoffs because I think in part he knows how much in terms of his legacy depends on what he does in the postseason. And even after game one in the press room, sitting there in front of him for the press conference with the questions that were asked about his legacy and his Hall of Fame and what it means because he performs better almost on the playoff stage, you could see that he personally takes that seriously and it means something to him. I think he will be even more hyper-focused tonight, and I expect good. I don't know how far he's going to go in the game, but I expect him to pitch well.
What would be a good outing for him, do you think? Not as typical, but like if he struggled just a little bit but still managed, what's a good outing for him?
I mean, I think as long as it's still a quality start, I think you can keep it, you know, 6 innings, 3 runs or less. I think that's all you can ask for in that situation on the road. And then you hope that with them going with openers and the bullpen, in terms of what Cash has said they're going to do, you would hope that the Astros offense can get breakthrough a couple times against them and give you a chance to win.
Yeah, that's the scary part is that Tampa bullpen is just so good.
Yeah.
And if that's going to be the bulk of what you're facing,
well,
scary proposition.
And the thing is, you broke through against Charlie Morton. You only did it once in the first inning with a home run, but at least you were able to get to him, and he's a top-notch, high-quality pitcher. No matter how good their bullpen is, they're not Charlie Morton. So you would hope that you can touch up one or two relievers and put yourself, like I said, and if you get Verlander a quality start, you give yourself a chance to win.
You got 2 runs in the Snell start off the bullpen. You only got 1 run off of Snell. And then in game one against Glasnow, you got 2 runs off of him, and then you ended up getting 4 runs, 2 earned.
Right, I was going to say, they've had some miscues, too, in the field that have helped the Astros score runs.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking during one of the breaks, and I said, look, the bottom line from an offensive perspective from the Astros is, as good as they can be, and as many runs as they can put up, sometimes they can be shut down just as easily when they get in these little mini slumps offensively. And with what we said about how bad the offense has been from an outfield perspective with Springer 0 for 13 and Reddick and Michael Brantley struggling a little bit, they got to pick it up too. There's got to be some onus on this offense to get it going. Yordan has struggled too.
Yeah. Did you watch the game last night with the Yankees Twins game?
I was going back and forth between the football game, which was so ridiculously bad to watch. I spent more time watching the Yankees.
Yankees are going to be a tough out for whoever it is.
Rays
or Astros. That, man, I feel sorry for either team that has to face them because right now they look unbeatable almost.
But the thing was, they dodged a lot of bullets too. I mean, the Twins had multiple runners on base in several innings. They just couldn't do anything with runners in scoring position. And you look at their bullpen, as good as they've been advertised, they still put themselves in some tough situations. The Twins just didn't get a timely hit. I will say one factor that I like if they continue to do this, but if they feel like Giancarlo Stanton's going to be their left fielder, especially playing in Minute Maid with all the nooks and crannies out there, I think that that could be a huge advantage for the Stros because of the fact that he is not a very... You talk about Yordan in the outfield?
Yeah.
I'd like to see Giancarlo Stanton field one between the visiting bullpen and the Crawford boxes or something down the line to say, hey, advantage Astros there.
Yeah.
But offensively, that Yankees lineup, and as much as we talk about how potent and solid and great the offense of the Astros, that Yankees lineup is... Wow, it's stellar in terms of what they can do offensively.
They've given up 7 runs, the pitching staff as a whole, over 3 games against the Twins.
I think you capitalize, too, on the fact that Severino, as good as he was again last night, can only give you about 5 innings.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, Ottavino and guys like that are Green and those guys.
But they're if gonna you're going to turn it over to a bullpen.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that as much as it's advantage Astros in the starting pitching, it's obviously advantage Yankees in the bullpen. Yeah. So it's going to be, you just want it to get there. I mean, I know Astros fans are losing their mind, but as sooner the better, I want the Astros to put the Rays to bed so that we can get what we've all said all year long is going to be what was going to be the inevitable. It's going to be just an absolute monumental series between.
I hope so.
And I hope for the Astros' sake that their pitching lines up, that they don't have to spend their pitching in this series so that it doesn't line up properly against the Yankees in the biggest series of the year.
Yeah.
Because here's the other thing. Who'd have thought that for all as good as the Dodgers have been all year, man, they might not even get out of the first round.
Wow. Now that would be a shock to me. Even though I had the Nationals, I didn't think the Nationals obviously they didn't start off well. So I was like, well, that's a stupid
pick.
You
had them going to the series?
Yeah.
That's big.
So the fact that they're here is good, and I kind of expected them to still play well because of their starting pitching. But I didn't – I mean, the way the Dodgers were just so dominant all year, I didn't think they would lose 2 games against the Nationals, much less be on the brink of getting eliminated. So,
I'll say this. I say – and I don't – maybe I'm in the minority. I say advantage Nationals. Yeah, the Dodgers are at home. Yeah, Walker Buehler is good. But the way Strasburg has been this postseason, yeah, and with as dominant as he can be with his fastball, I think having him on regular rest at Dodger Stadium – I'll take it. I'll take my chances if I'm the Nationals right now, because we always talk about the hot team. Sometimes momentum carries a big edge. Right now, Nationals are playing great ball at the right time, and they're getting good pitching.
Well, it's funny because you see it's 2-2, and you might think, oh, well, both teams just won at home. No. These are teams that have split on the road, so Washington's proven they can go into Dodger Stadium and win one.
Because they already have. Be tighter of the two teams.
Oh,
Nationals,
yeah,
are coming in loose with nothing to lose.
No doubt.
Dodgers, who are the perennial National League favorites to get to the World Series again, going, man, we could be one and done here if we don't play this game right. They could be pretty tight.
Boy, you talk about disappointed fan base.
Oof.
After this, the year that they had.
They do become the Buffalo Bills of Major League Baseball if, yeah, they don't win this game. So, lots to look forward to the rest of the week with baseball game 5. Hopefully the Astros don't have to deal with that as they deal with the Rays tonight. First pitch about 6:07 from the Trop as Verlander takes the hill. But we've got a half hour to go on the show and plenty more to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Tuesday. As we appreciate you guys being suspects and tuning us in wherever you may be. As we always say, if you miss any portion of the show, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for the suspects at the top of the page. You can catch up on the hours that you missed. While you're there, download the app. Take us anywhere, everywhere. Never miss any more of the shows.
Do it.
There you go. Keith has been waiting a while. He wants to talk about NFL coaches. Keith, what's up?
Hello, guys. Enjoying the show. I just had a quick question that I was been thinking about after watching last night's game. This string of new coaches, I wanted to get your opinion on who has got it down and who do you think is still over their head? I mean, you can check out McVay. He did go to Super Bowl, so he's checked that box. Shanahan is just in his blood. He definitely knows what he's doing. But, you know, like the broadcasters even always are still saying, this guy had lunch with the Rams coach, and now he has a job. But does he really still deserve that job? Like the Bengals coach. And you look at LaFleur, even though they're winning, he and Aaron Rodgers are still having public disputes on the sideline. So my question really is, which of these young coaches that are coaching 2 years or less, do you think have it down, and which ones that they still don't have a clue on what they're doing? I hang up and listen.
You got thoughts on this? I mean, obviously, to me, based on what happened last night, Freddie Kitchens becomes Exhibit A for a guy that may be in over his head. I mean, he's had a ton to deal with in a short period of time with a lot of egos, a lot of expectations, a lot of media spotlight. But so far to this point, I'd have to say he hasn't handled it very well.
No, you're right. I think he's got to kind of bubble to the top, especially when you consider expectations for the Browns and what people thought they should be doing this year and the fact that they're 2-3 and haven't looked good for most of the season. Brian Flores out in Miami, but how much of that do you blame him for?
He's in a no-win there. He just got to make sure he's got a long-term deal. That's the only reason why you would take that job. Especially, you better have known that going in, that it was going to be a complete tank and reset.
Yeah. You know, it's tough because some of these teams, you look at the personnel, you look what's going on out in Arizona. How quickly are you bailing on what's going on out there after, you know, a couple of starts, and you got a rookie QB, you got a rookie coach. So, I think more of the focus right now is like what just happened in Washington with Gruden getting let go.
I almost called that to the day.
You did. I was thinking about that when I saw it.
Yep.
But yeah, that there's some teams out there that are there's some great coaching jobs going on and there's some bad ones. But for the most part, I think the young guys are doing what you expect young coaches to do.
Adam Gase, trying to figure out the tough NFL situation without Darnold with the Jets.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn now, after the loss to the Texans and their slow start, people are thinking is over his head, even though he got to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
To the caller's point, Dan Quinn got him to a Super Bowl, lost a 28-3 lead, and hasn't been anywhere near that since.
Yeah.
So you look at some of these other situations and go, Jason Garrett, now that he's got a really good team to handle, may look like he's over his head.
You think so?
In a lot of ways, watching that game and some of his – look at last year against the Texans, he didn't go on 4th-and-1 with Zeke.
Yeah.
He's made some pretty questionable decisions.
Yeah. I think that's part of it, though. Coaching, you're always going to have the more decisions that you have to make, the chances of you making a questionable one here and there, it's going to be a thing no matter what. I mean, there's not a coach in here not a coach in the NFL that hasn't been questioned on decision making at some point.
Sure. And you look, and I mentioned Garrett because he got a 15-yard penalty for the way he cussed at an official and threw a red flag after they got a first down, and it made it 1st-and-25. An experienced coach just doesn't do that. I don't care. You control your emotions. I don't care what the situation is. Or you look at Doug Marrone, who followed Jalen Ramsey off the field here and made it a big deal. And since that point, Jalen Ramsey has made it a point to not play for the Jags, asked for a trade, says he can't play in that environment anymore. Is that environment the organization or the head coach?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so,
would he still be there if that wasn't the head coach? But I don't think he likes Coughlin, to be honest with you. I don't think he likes playing for Coughlin.
And again, we're not inside the day-to-day, so we don't know how much control Coughlin has. And maybe you're right. Maybe it is more Coughlin than it is Doug Marrone. But obviously Doug Marrone's at the forefront, and when video surfaces of those two going at it. And then the crazy thing is Deshaun Watson posts after the game on Sunday out with his agent, and who happens to be on the other side of him but Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Your team just played a game that in which you weren't able to go because you had a back problem, but you're sitting in Houston next to Deshaun Watson, and I don't think you drove here.
Pretty interesting.
So, and I'm sorry, Texans fans, don't start that whole rumor mill going either. You don't have the draft picks that they want in order to make this a possibility, though everybody would love to see Jalen Ramsey in a Texans uniform. It's not going to happen. Let's just dispel that right now.
Right.
because your picks just went to the Miami Dolphins to get Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. So let's make that real clear right now. That's not going to happen. And the interesting thing last night was, as bad as that football game was, boy, the side stories were fantastic. The fact that Bosa played a monster game, but then made it about revenge on Baker for the Ohio State Oklahoma game.
Loved that.
With the flag. Thought that was fantastic.
Loved that.
Richard Sherman basically saying, you're not in college anymore, Baker Mayfield. If you're not going to shake hands with guys before games, that's kiddie college stuff. That doesn't fly in the NFL, and you're going to be reminded real quick what you might not have wanted to deal with, which is this is a different league, a different ball game. Players are all having each other's backs. That's why quarterbacks are the first to shake hands after games. After games, don't try and play this like a college scenario. It's not going to play well with veterans in the NFL.
One of the things that I found interesting about the game last night is there was a couple things, but one of them is how easily the Niners ran the ball and until they lost their fullback. And then you could see that,
That could be a very big injury.
Yeah,
for the Niners.
And so you kind of wonder, was he the straw that stirred the drink? Because that they looked to be doing whatever they wanted to in the run game until they
and Breida rattles off. Did you see that?
80 something yards.
Not only did he go 87 yards, but they said the fastest total speed wise over 22 miles an hour was the fastest total for an NFL player in an on field play in like years.
Yeah.
He was lightning.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Juszczyk is his name. I always screw it up.
The fullback. Juszczyk. And they said that he's going to avoid season-ending injury, according to some of the doctors online I've seen quotes from. But yet it's still going to be where he could be out for a few weeks.
But he's a big part of that run game.
Yes, he is.
And, that's going to be interesting. But, boy, I thought that was interesting. And I thought the fact that Cleveland just overall looked awful. With the weapons and, Chubb still went for 87 yards, but that passing game right now.
He was frustrated because the line wasn't great.
Baker Mayfield does not look
talk
good.
About a guy exposed.
His QBR was a 1.4.
I'm seeing these.
That's awful.
I'm seeing the Hulu commercial. I'm seeing the Home Depot ads. Oof. I'm seeing a guy that got all of this before he got it on the field.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing it come back and bite him in the butt in a rapid way. And you're looking at a guy that, we had all that swagger and braggadocio when you got Cleveland its first win and God knows how long and, looked like you were going to be the savior. But as we always say, when there's tape on you, the second year can be completely different. And good for him that he cashed in while the iron was hot. But boy, there's a lot of hot tempers that saw this kid getting all this before he ever did anything on the field and saying, you're getting what you deserve. There are people that have a target on his back all the time.
And that's what happens. That's especially when you get so much run so early and you're anointed before you've ever done a single thing. So,
yeah, it's crazy, but the division is still wide open for them.
Yeah,
they still. But have you seen their schedule?
The Browns' schedule?
Yeah.
Is it hard?
Uh huh. Look at it.
I haven't.
New England coming up.
Ooh, you got Seattle, the Patriots, Broncos, the Bills, Steelers. And then they get the Dolphins, so they get another bye week. Steelers again, Bengals, Cards, Ravens, Bengals. Yeah, that's not exactly easy.
No, and that's so it's not. It's gonna get. Sorry, got a little reflux going on here.
Do you?
Yeah,
you good.
I'm gonna be okay. it's just it caught me off guard. The thing with the Browns is it's gonna get worse before it gets better. And now you've kind of used all your get out of jail free cards that teams get early in the year. When we always talk about the Patriots, the first month of the season, treat it like preseason. They don't really care. It's what they do later. They don't have any more wiggle room, even though the division has allowed them a chance to stay in it because Pittsburgh and the injuries and all that. I don't know, man. I just think that this is a team that was the sexy pick for Vegas to say could make the Super Bowl. They might not make the playoffs.
Yeah, because they got Patriots and Seahawks back-to-back. That's not going to be that's going to be tough. That puts them basically, if you assume that they lose both of those games, now they're what, 2-5?
Yeah.
Good luck.
And the thing is, they caught a break because of the Steelers' injuries. And then you and I were talking during the break. And, Nick, I don't know if you saw this or not. Oh, and you did because you tweeted about it. That Mason Rudolph injury.
Oh, that was, man, that was so devastating. I wish I didn't see I was at the Texans game when I saw the clip on Twitter. So I wish I saw it from, like, like a TV angle. So I don't think anybody was saying it was dirty, but it was a bad hit regardless.
That's the thing. It wasn't a perfect hit in terms of the violence of where the helmet to helmet or anything. But the fact that he was wearing a non-padded chin strap, and as I mentioned to you, no mouth guard, and the top and the crown of Earl Thomas's helmet just caught him right on the chin. It's like a prize fight.
Yeah.
But then the worst look was the cart didn't work. They said he insisted on wanting to walk off the field, but not before they took the face mask off so he looked like a 1919 leather helmet wearing football player, stumbling all over, being helped by 80-year-old doctors to try and get him off the field. You're like, this is a billion-dollar industry. You don't think there's more than one golf cart in the stadium?
What's crazy is when you look at the hit, it got him right on the jawline.
It sure did.
And, you know, we talk about that all the time. Yep. And when it comes to fighting, that's a surefire knockout. Then his head hits the ground again really hard.
He was out before he hit the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, because his arms were in the air like that. So.
Yeah. And then, but like I said, then the cart's not working, and he's got the face mask off, and the imagery is just of a guy that's completely on another stratosphere right now mentally, and he's walking off the field. Not a good look for the NFL.
Pretty ugly.
Terrible. So, okay, we got one segment to go on the show. We're going to wrap it up, put a bow on it next. Take it till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. You keep it tuned right here, ESPN 97.5. When I shoot the gift, I shoot the kill. I can't nigga down.
So get out your seat and jump around. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Final segment of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Tuesday, Big City, Houston. Speaking of Houston, boys, we had talked about the Texans game itself. Mm-hmm. I found a video this morning. I sent it to you guys. I was shocked, to say the least, but the Texans got the better of the Falcons on the field. But someone posted on Twitter, and I can retweet it. There were Texans fans, obviously full stadium, and there was a small segment of Falcons fans. At some point during the course of the proceedings inside the stadium, a Texans fan gets into an altercation with Falcons fans. I was shocked when I tell you that I watch a Texans fan getting absolutely pummeled by a couple of Falcons fans and no Texans fans coming to the rescue.
What'd he say, though? Do we know?
We don't know what caused the altercation, but at the same time, look, you don't have to be on pick a side based on what jerseys these grown men are wearing. Break it up.
Yeah, breaking it up is one thing, but jumping in and helping out, because I mean, maybe Texas fan was being a jerk.
It's obviously nothing's off the table until we know exactly what's going on. In fact, the guy that is always there with the face, the wrestling face paint on and everything like that, you can see him kind of shouting at people during the fight, but there's no one trying to come to break it up on either side. And then another Falcons fan comes from behind and starts sucker punching the Texan fan.
That's not good.
And at the very end, the only guy that saves face for Houston is a guy in an Astros jersey who comes from the side and absolutely sucker punches one of the Falcons fans.
This is wild, man.
And the whole time, there's two security people in green shirts just watching. One guy looks like Santa Claus just going, oh, ho, ho, look what we got going on here, Brewer.
I tell you what, though, that Texas fan, good chin on him.
Yeah, dude, he took a whole bunch of hits.
Oh, man, did he take a... He took a beating and kept on ticking.
Yeah, he did. He was getting punched in the head, the back of the head, the face.
Well, at one point, one of the Falcons fans tried to stop the other Falcons fans.
Yeah.
Fan from continuing to hit the Texan fan. So
worst thing you can do when you're breaking up a fight is hold a person's arms.
What? Because it doesn't do anything.
Well, because now they can't defend themselves.
Yeah.
So you see the Falcons
he's
fan.
He's holding his arms. He's getting punched.
That happened when my wife beat up that chicken at the red light. Like, don't hold somebody. Grab them by the waist.
Your ex-wife, bro.
My ex-wife, yeah. Don't grab them grab them by the waist, not the arms.
No, I hear you.
Because you don't get somebody, knocked out by grabbing them by the arms.
When I first saw the video, I said, well, Matt Peralta's a Red Sox and a Celtics fan. What the hell is he doing in a Texas jersey getting his ass beat? Because
is that what Matt Peralta looks like?
That's who he looked like. And then I'm looking at it, and I'm like, and see, at the end, you get that guy that's on all the tickets and the everything with the wrestling face paint on.
Yeah.
Of anybody that was going to play Peacemaker, if he got in the middle of it, you'd think everybody would be like, all right, I don't want to be part of him. He's just kind of going, hey, leave those two people alone. I'm like, come on.
It's funny because I think the guy that got sucker punched by the dude in the Astros jersey, I'm trying to see if he did anything. It doesn't look like he really did anything. He's just – so he's got Texans fan in a headlock trying to get him to break it up. He's just trying to stop it, and then he gets punched.
Yeah.
He's like, what the hell? Boy, that's you don't know what was said. That's the thing, is if he's out there talking about somebody's mama or wife, then he would deserve that ass whooping. So the question is, what did he say or do?
What started it, and why didn't anybody?
I can tell you exactly what started it. Alcohol started it.
You're probably right. But again, yeah. when we got into all this with the tailgating issues with the Texans and the Cowboys fans, all of a sudden you needed a ticket to be on the grounds to tailgate, and they had to do all these different things. But my thing is, in the stadium, in the middle of a game, it's one thing to say, where's security? But when you watch the video, it's pretty clear the two people in the green shirts...
Is that security?
...are security that are just watching the proceedings and not trying to stop anything.
Well, it was a pretty good fight. I wouldn't want to break it up too soon.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, let's let us get his ass kicked just for like 10 or 15 seconds.
If that's any one of the three of us or John Granato in the middle of just watching it in the parking lot or in the supermarket, we might let it go. But you're watching this unfold in the middle of a sport, in the middle of a Texans game where, hey, if this was the Jaguars game, it would have been so uneventful on the field, you would have let it go. But your team was doing enough good things on the field that the fans should have gone, hey, this is getting in the middle of me watching a great game. Stop this.
The other thing is, ladies, stop trying to break up fights, because what inevitably ends up happening, there's like several chicks in here trying to break this up, and that's good for them. But then a lady's going to get accidentally punched because no one's paying attention. And now that dude's going to get a big-time ass whooping for hitting a lady, whether it was an accident or not. I think the real takeaway is here is, ladies, just don't get in the middle of it.
Ironically, the one lady started out trying to break it up, and she learned her lesson that it wasn't going to be her forte. So she just pulled out her phone and started videotaping the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. She's in the Zubas and the Julio Jones jersey.
That's smart.
She just pulled out her phone and was like, well, if I can't break it up, I might as well get good video of it. I might get paid for it. So that was about the only
Are there fights in the stands every week at Texans games?
I don't think at Texans games. Okay. I think they're too uppity. I hate to say this, but gone to the number of Texans games I've gone to, it's more of a social event. For a lot of people, whether it's in your section, you just look forward to hanging out with those people. But the club level, it's like a who's who, how can I be seen? And the bar, they have those bars, the Star Bar and all the different bars. And starting a little early, pregame first, and then they'll watch the first half till about 5 minutes to go in the first half. They all go to those bars on the club level. And if the game doesn't get good right away in the third quarter, most people just stay there for the second half. Hmm. So, yeah,
I
was a little surprised. But I'll tell you what, when you start seeing 100-degree weather and chicks are wearing leather pants and guys are all like double cologned up for, it's like a singles bar instead of trying to go to a football game. I'm not used to that. But
who you got tonight?
I think the Astros win. I really do.
Okay.
I'm sticking with it. I mean, I don't see Verlander the way you do tonight. I see that bulldog mentality coming through.
I hope you're right.
And I think, you know, here's the other thing to think about, too. We talk about momentum being a big thing and also the mental aspect. I think the Rays are only going to remember the fact that this guy is a load, and he got him good in game one. So I think that as much as they were feeling their oats after yesterday, I think there's a lot of people stepping into that box going, now this guy made us look silly in game one, and I don't know that they have quite that momentum.
Okay.
Who you got, Nick?
I think the Astros are going to win too. I mean, they obviously don't have the advantage of Morton, and I feel like a lot of things was just momentum going towards the Rays' way in that game. Obviously, Greinke didn't have his best performance. I still think the Astros get the job done. So I have complete confidence in this team. So
do I have a drum roll, or are you just? I really am. Where do you think, Barry?
I think the Rays win this game. I think they. I think.
Is that why he waited for us two to go first?
I had the inclination he was going that way based on what he thought Verlander was.
Verlander has an okay outing. He probably goes five innings, gives up four earned runs, and then they turn it over to the bullpen. And now it's bullpen versus bullpen. Astros bullpen collapses. They lose it in the late innings. Come back and Gerrit Cole is the hero in Game 5.
I don't think they win. Completely impossible. I don't think that's impossible.
That's true, but I don't think it's gonna.
I hope I'm wrong, and I'm usually the jinx, right? So if I say they're gonna win, they lose. If I say they lose, they win. So let's hope that streak continues because I'm rarely right.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to, you know, figure out a way that this goes, Verlander on short rest goes five, keeps them in it. It's close, 4-2, 4-3. Bullpen comes in and coughs it up, and they end up losing, you know, 5-4, 6-4, something like that.
Who's your player of the game?
I don't know. Pick a bullpen member.
Okay.
Pham. I mean, Diaz is out. That foot injury that he suffered is so. I could see a guy like Tommy Pham having a big night.
Who's your hero, Nick?
My hero.
Yeah. Who's you going to say is a player of the game?
I'll probably go with if the Astros win, I'm going to say Alex Bregman.
Oh, that's a good choice.
I'm splitting it. I'm going Verlander because of his performance on the hill, and the big hit comes from Yuli Gurriel.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
So we'll see how that goes. So a great full show today, fellas. Great to be back on the air. And, of course, we'll be with you the rest of the week. Tomorrow, we're back in studio. Thursday, we're back in B-Town.
Beaumont.
In Beaumont. So all you people in the 409, get ready for the suspects to do a road show heading down your way. So we'll have more information on that, but that should be fun. But tomorrow's a Way Back Wednesday. We'll probably pick the topic sometime during or after the game tonight. Feel free to always tweet us your suggestions. But we'll be back tomorrow. And until then, we're going to turn it over to the Blitz. So stay tuned. They're next.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I want to tell you about Get Upside. You got to check this app out if you don't have it installed already on your phone. It takes mere seconds to install. You can start saving money on the stuff you're already paying for, like gas and food. And when you set it up, use my promo code Barry. You're going to get extra savings on your first fill up through the app. Look, Get Upside was on ABC 13. They did a story on it. And you've heard me talking about it. A lot of folks at the station are using it. It's like getting free money. And the way it works is these businesses, these gas stations and restaurants, they want you to go to them and not the competition. So they offer these cashback deals through the app. And it's super easy to claim. You just pull up the map. You find one in your area. You claim the offer. You pay with a debit or credit card. Upload your receipt. That simple. You get your cash back within 24 hours. Over 500 gas stations around the city are in the Get Upside app where you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back. You can also get up to 35% on your food purchases, and they're always adding new restaurants to the mix. I just saw Dunkin' Donuts is in there now. I saw Sonic. So it's growing, and you should get on board right now. Go download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later. And guys, don't go anywhere. Blitz is up next. ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.